Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear and change our hearts to be like you. Amen. Before I came to New Zealand in 1989, I was a high school teacher teaching geography at St. Christopher's School in Bahrain. I had studied geography at Sheffield University, the same university as Don Hoare, those who know Don Hoare, and not at the same time. And I had a passion for physical geography. That's the study of the physical processes that shape our world, shaping by rivers, the sea, glaciers, wind, heat and frost in the desert, geomorphology. When I traveled around with my dad as a young person, he would look out of the car window at rock features and he'd say, "How was that made, Liz?" And I'd have to go into detail and explain to him about the wind and the type of rock, and yeah, I always enjoyed doing that. My first job teaching here was at Nainai College in the Hutt, and it was a new school and a new curriculum. New Zealand is, as you all know, a new country with amazing landscapes, including the Southern Alps, the geothermal areas, the glaciers, the fjords, the coasts and the rivers. There is so much to look at and study here, but it's all in a nice, compact, small area. But it's no paradise, as we know. There are many natural disasters that affect our population, including earthquakes, tsunamis, landslides, cyclones, floods, and active volcanoes even. As we have seen in the last couple of weeks with Cyclone Gabrielle, the forces of nature are destructive, and they destroy people's lives, homes, and even take lives. Cutting people off and left without the basics we all take for granted. In Wellington, we're at risk of a big earthquake, and we all have, I hope, our earthquake kits and water stores at the ready. In the early 2000s, together with Susan Timmins, I was a guide leader here in Wadestown. We had great fun teaching our guides life skills that they can rely on to get them through life here in New Zealand. We taught them how to erect tents and make other shelters, how to keep themselves and their possessions dry whilst in the outdoors, how to keep clean, first aid, how to cook on gas camp stoves and hobo stoves, how to work as a team to fetch water and build a fire, how to look after each other and other people, and all the time we had a lot of fun. The motto for the guides and the scouts, anyone here involved? Be prepared. And I would hope that in any emergency, our guides would be able to survive and also help others. Of course, not only is our physical world a place to be prepared and on the lookout for natural disasters and other emergencies, there are also unseen spiritual traps we need to be prepared for. Apparently, that's due to Adam. In our Old Testament reading today from Genesis, we heard the story about Adam and Eve living with God in the garden. It's a lovely illustrative story. The Garden of Eden, it sounds like such a paradise. There's no mention of any natural disasters or anything that could hurt them. It's just filled with everything that they needed. They lived in a paradise in total innocence until one fateful day when they went against God. They had been given one simple instruction, just one thing not to do. God said, "Don't eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." That's the big tree in the middle of the garden. So we heard that the serpent, who was the most crafty of all the animals, got involved and encouraged Eve to take that tasty-looking fruit, eat it, and then share it with her husband. Adam had sinned. He had disobeyed God. And with that, everything changed for humankind. They noticed they were naked. Modesty overcame them and they covered their bodies with cloths made out of fig leaves. They hid from God And when God found out what they had done, he cursed them and threw them out of the garden, never to return. From that day on, Adam had to work hard all the days of his life, and Eve had to suffer pain during childbirth, and they would die. The same has been passed on to all of us. This series of events is called the Fall, and it's affected our relationship with God ever since. That's until Jesus came into the world, God in human flesh. Just as one person did it wrong and got us all in this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. That's what we heard this morning in Romans 5, verse 18. Just as one person got it wrong and got us in all this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and we heard in the New Testament reading about the test. If we look back a little in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus goes to see John the Baptist and asks him to baptize him in the Jordan River. John is reluctant, but Jesus insists. Do it. God's work, putting things right all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism. So John did it. And then a voice is heard. This is my son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. And then straight after that baptism, Jesus is taken out into the wilderness, which to me seems a little bit like the opposite of the Garden of Eden. He's taken there by the Spirit for the test, and the devil is ready to give it. Jesus prepared for the test by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. By now, Jesus must have been in a state of extreme hunger. And the devil uses that to his advantage in the first test. Since you are God's son, speak the word that will turn these stones into loaves as bread. Jesus answers him with scripture from Deuteronomy. It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth. Then the devil goes on to the second part of the test. He took him to the holy city, set him on top of the temple, and told him to jump. Since you are God's son, jump, the devil goaded him by quoting Psalm 91. He has placed you in the care of angels. They will catch you so that you won't so much as stub your toe on a stone. Jesus countered with another citation from Deuteronomy. Don't you dare test the Lord your God. The devil tries one more time. He takes Jesus to the peak of a huge mountain and offers him all the earth's kingdoms. They're yours, lock, stock, and barrel. Just go down on your knees and worship me, and they're yours. Jesus' refusal was curt. Get behind me, Satan. Followed by a third quotation from Deuteronomy. Worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness. The test was over. The devil left, and in his place, angels. Angels came and took care of Jesus' needs. What can we learn from this as we enter our 40 days of Lent in the lead up to Easter? We need to let go of the distractions of this world for a period of time and spend time studying the scriptures and in prayer. For those of you who have signed up to do the Diocesan Lenten study, we will be studying together 1 Peter. For those of you unable to join us, see if you can find some time to spend reading and absorbing God's word. Lent is a time to give up certain distractions and spend more time with God. This is all in preparation for when temptations come, as surely they will. We can be like Jesus and look to the scriptures for ways to rebuke the tempter. If nothing springs to mind, then the best phrase for you to remember, and I'm sure you've been taught this from when you were very little, like me, The best thing to say, as Jesus did, "Get behind me, Satan." Amen.